إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Once again I welcome all of you. We continue the talk we started last time on al-bid'ah, khatarat al-bid'ah, the dangers of innovations, tanbi ta'rif al-bid'ah. What we mentioned in the previous class, the definition of bid'ah, what is an innovation, and some kinds and types of innovations. And we, if you remember, that the hukum of the bid'ah, they all are dalala. All innovations in Islam are not good. There is no such thing as good innovation in Islam. Because the innovation is something that is not from Islam. How is it going to be good? It is something that the people, they invent. And as we're going to learn later on, how this innovation occurs amongst the Muslims, how this innovation start to, you know, to be disseminated amongst the Muslims. The last point we mentioned is that the Shaykh, he mentioned that as for those people who they say that there is a good bid'ah and there is a bad bid'ah, this is a mistake. This is totally wrong. There is no such thing as good innovation in Islam. So no one can say, look, there is a bad innovation and there is good ones. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, "Inna kulla bid'atin dalala." Because the Prophet ﷺ said, every newly invented matter to this deen is innovation, is misguidance. So the Prophet ﷺ ruling on bid'ah, that all of them are misguidance. And who wants to be misguided? You know, if you're misguided on this one here, that's it. There is only one path. Who wants to be lost? Can't be losing in this one. Even in the dunya, you don't want to be misguided. If somebody give you stop and you ask for direction, somebody give you the wrong direction, that's misguidance. Now you're upon misguidance. That's what certain people do. Those who act upon innovations in Islam, they think they are on a path that leads to the Jannah, but they are misguided. Because the only thing that leads to the Jannah is what Allah has legislated. And we have to hold on firm to the Quran and the Sunnah. So now the Prophet ﷺ, he says, every innovation is astray and misguided. But the one who says innovation is good, he's saying, no, no, no. So innovations are not misguidance. So he's contradicting, he's going against the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. So who you take at the end of the day? Of course, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, and the Shaykh says, these people have no, who say that there is a good bid'ah, they are the mubtadi'ah, because they say that to push their innovations, to support their innovations. They tell their followers, the laymen who don't study, they tell them, look, we know there is some bad innovations, but there is some good ones too. Alright? So we know there is bad innovations, we agree, but there is some good ones. Come on, celebrating the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, this is the best man. Ah, come on, what's wrong with this? Celebrating the birthday of the best man, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tell them, no. These people tell them, did the Prophet celebrate his birthday? No. Did Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, the Khulafa, the Sahaba? No. Alright, did Abu Hanifa did it? Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmed? No. So why you don't? This is a good bid'ah. See? This is good. Don't you believe in the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He's the best man. All right, that's why we celebrate. See how they get the people, the laymen. But those who are firm, we tell them, look, if the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it, Sahaba didn't know where it is, we should leave it alone. So these people who they spread this bid'ah and they say there is good bid'ah, sometimes they use as a proof, statement of Umar radiallahu anhu. See, some of them, they may say, look, you're saying there is no good bid'ah. Well, here is Umar radiallahu anhu, he says about Salat al-Tarawih, ni'matul bid'ah hadihi. This is a good bid'ah. This is a good innovation. And also he says, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certain things happened that didn't happen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but nobody says they are bad, like gathering the Quran in one mushaf. Gathering the Quran and writing, okay, and writing the hadith and gathering the hadith too. Okay, but nobody from the Salaf, from the Sahaba, from the Ulama, nobody said anything about it. So they use this as an example. What is the answer to this? Of course they were wrong. The Shaykh says, whether it be Taraweeh, Salat Taraweeh, or the gathering of the Quran or the writing of the Hadith, all of these actions, they started in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? For instance, when Umar radiallahu anhu, the Shaykh says, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah says, when Umar radiallahu anhu says, ni'mati al-bid'atu, because when he saw that all of the people gathered behind one imam in Taraweeh in Ramadan, he says, this is a good innovation. But what he meant with that is linguistically, not in the shara'. Because if you are doing something and he has an asl, and a foundation and origin in the deen, that's not an innovation. Because the bid'ah, in the innovation in the terminology of the religion, is any action of worship that has no asl, no origin, and no foundation to go back in the deen. Nothing. As for the gathering of the Quran in one book, yes, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to command some of the companions to write the Quran. Okay? But it was written in separate sheets and plates and the like. It was not in one like this, but the Quran was written. The Prophet ﷺ used to command some of the companions to write the Quran. So what the Sahaba did, they just gathered it together, radiallahu anhum, in one book, in one mushaf. As for Taraweeh, there is asl, because the Prophet ﷺ, he performed the Taraweeh. And he led the companions a couple of nights. Some nights the Prophet ﷺ would come, pray, the Sahaba pray behind him, then the next night, and one night the Prophet ﷺ, he did not come out for them. And they waited. They waited until the morning, and he told them, I know that you were waiting for me, and that which prevented me from coming and lead you once again in a prayer, I'm afraid that if I did so, it may become obligatory upon you. Okay? Taraweeh is not an obligation, it's a sunnah. It's good in it, but if somebody don't pray Taraweeh, there is nothing against them. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ says. He says, I didn't come last night to lead you in that prayer, because I was afraid if I did so, Allah may make it obligatory upon you. Can you imagine if Taraweeh is obligatory? A lot of people be in trouble now. People are barely making it to pray Isha. Can you imagine if Taraweeh 21 rak'ah, or for those who pray 23, some people pray more than that. Can you imagine if that become obligatory? So, but from that time, the Sahaba, they continues to pray Taraweeh separately in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. See? The Prophet ﷺ never told them don't do this. Didn't do that. And after his death too, in the time of Abu Bakr, until when Umar became the Khalifa and he gathered them behind one imam. As they did, behind one imam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the people, they used to come to the masjid and they pray by themselves, Taraweeh. But Umar radiallahu anhu gathered them, all of them behind one imam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this before. So therefore, this is not a bid'ah in the deen. This is not an innovation in the religion. Likewise, gathering the hadith and writing the hadith is not an innovation. Because there is an asl. This is how you answer those people when they bring you this shubah. There is an asl in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Some of his companions, they used to write hadith. Or actually, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded some of his companions to write. But in general, the Prophet ﷺ didn't allow everybody to write the hadith because he was afraid that it may mix with the Quran. That the people write the hadith and write Quran, they don't know which one is Quran, which now is hadith. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he prevents people from writing the hadith except for a few companions. Okay? Out of fear that people may mix that which they write. They don't know, is the Quran, this is hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, because both come from the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba, they heard the Quran from him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they heard the hadith from him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet ﷺ recited the Quran and he talked to them other times about the hadith, so the Prophet ﷺ was afraid that the companions may mix the Quran with the hadith. But when the Prophet ﷺ died, no revelation. That's it. No more revelation to come down. Then they didn't have to worry about that. Because the Quran was completed and many of the companions, they have memorized it. And the Prophet ﷺ reviewed it with them as Jibreel ﷺ reviewed it with the Prophet ﷺ. And so the Quran was clear, was known. So then after that, the Sahaba and the Muslim, they began to write down the hadith to preserve the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So may Allah reward them, he says, for their good work. Since they preserved the book of their Lord and the sunnah of their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, once again, when it comes to innovations in the deen of Allah, all innovations are bad and evil and dalalat. There is no such thing as a good innovation in the deen of Allah. Now we're going to go ahead in the second part of this talk, ظهور البدع في حياة المسلمين والأسباب التي أدت إلى ذلك. That the innovations took place in the life of the Muslims, and the Shaykh is going to mention the reasons, some of the reasons that lead these innovations to spread among the Muslims. Two parts. Part number one, ظهور البدع في حياة المسلمين. The advent of innovations in the life of the Muslims. And under this is two points. The first point, وقت ظهور البدع. And the second one, مكان ظهور البدع. The first point, when these innovations started, the time. When they started. The second point, the place where this innovation started. As for the time when this innovation started, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, you should know that most of innovations, whether related to belief or to actions of worship, they occur in the time towards the Khilafah of Al-Khulafa Al-Rashidun. Awakhir Khilafat Al-Khulafa Al-Rashidin. towards the time of, mainly towards the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the Khalifa. As the Prophet ﷺ informed the companions with that. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was alive, he informed the Prophet, informed the companions. He said to them in the hadith, "Man ya'ish minkum ba'di fasayara ikhtilafan kathira." He says to the companions, "Whoever will live longer after me," meaning after his death, "those who will live longer after me shall see a lot of different people. They're going to be doing different things. They're not going to adhere to what you are upon. Certain people, they're going to bring some new things into the deen. Many things. Kathira, ikhtilafan kathira. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخَلَفَاءِ الرَّشِدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي." In the Prophet ﷺ, he advised the companions, those amongst them who will live longer, such Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Jabir, these are companions, they lived longer. And they saw these things, these bid'ah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, "If you see this, hold on firm to my sunnah, and the sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifa after me." And the first bid'ah, the first innovation that occurs is the bid'ah al-qadr. Bid'ah al-qadr, those people who began to talk about the qadr, the decree of Allah. And bid'ah al-irja. Bid'ah al-irja, the murji'ah, a deviant group. The murji'ah, who they say that iman is just what's in your heart. These are the extreme amongst them. If you believe in Allah, that's all you have to enter al-Jannah. Pray, don't pray. Fast, don't fast. Doesn't matter. The one who pray is the same boat like the one who don't pray. Fornicate, steal, drink alcohol, lie, kill, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. As long as you have belief in Allah, that it resembles whose belief? Christians. As long as you have who in his heart? Jesus. That's it. Look at the Christians now. They don't pray. They smoke, drink, fornicate. All the crazy things come that Allah save us from, alhamdulillah. But they let go. You die, Jesus. That's it. This murji'ah, that's what they say. Doesn't matter. Then there is another type of them, of murji'ah, they says, no, you have to say with your tongue too. Not just in the heart. You have to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. But still, actions has nothing to do with iman. You pray, you don't pray, fast, don't make hajj, don't pay zakat. Doesn't matter to them. Fall into the haram, it's okay. As long as a person, he says with his tongue that he believes in Allah. It's a bid'at of al-irja. And that's the Sufis, many Sufis do that. Okay, that's why you see people, they don't pray or nothing, because the Sufi told them, "We got you." Like, especially the Tijanis in Africa. Because the Tijani, he make them believe that whoever believe in his way and follow him, he will be in Jannah, that's it. And they're the first people to enter Jannah. That's why you see people, they don't care about learning the deen, nothing. They say, "No, man, just do it." Their Shaykh told them, they guarantee them the Jannah. But Allah says in many ayats, "Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat," and do righteous actions. And they don't like, subhanAllah. But the Prophet ﷺ, he's the best of mankind. He's the first one who will enter al-Jannah by the text, but he used to fast. Not only Ramadan. Fast, optionals. He used to stay up. Stand up in prayer until his feet swell. But then they say, no. Once you say you're a believer, that's all you need. That's why these Sufis, the extreme amongst them, their so-called, their mawlahum and this, they don't pray. They smoke cigarettes and do haram. And they're like, "Why is he?" He says, no, that's the Shaykh, man. He reached a level. You don't have to pray anymore. And they're crazy, and they believe in that. They think, look, once you reach his level, You don't have to pray too. That's the main shaykh. What level? I don't want that level of craziness. Because they don't understand the importance of the salat. Salat, subhanAllah, bring you sweetness in the heart and a lot of good things in your life. Also the bid'at al-tashayyu', the Shia now, those who go extreme as related to Ali radiallahu anhu and his family, which is now the Rawafid, is from them, wal-iyadu billah. Okay? And the Khawarij, those who killed the Muslims. The Khawarij who fought against Ali radiallahu anhu and against the Sahaba. This is bid'ah. These innovations, they occur in a time when the Sahaba, they were still alive. Sahaba, they were still alive, some of them. Some of the companions, they were still alive. And the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, they refuted these people, these innovators. They refuted these innovators. Like, for instance, as an example, two men came from Iraq, because they learned, they saw that the people began to innovate in the Qadr, and they began to say that there is, look what they say, this Mubtadi'ah. They say, one Mubtadi'ah about the Qadr, they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know the actions of the people until the people do the action. You see how crazy? They say, for example, Allah did not know when a man prays until that man prays. Now when Allah knows, wal-iyadu billah. And they deny this. Other than them, they say, people are forced to do everything because Allah decreed. So when a person fornicates, he's been forced by Allah. Does Allah force and command with fahisha? No. You see? They say, look, so he won't drink alcohol. He steals, fornicate, don't pray. When somebody says, "Akhi, this is no good," he says, "I know. Why are you doing it?" Allah, akhi, Allah decreed this on me, man. Didn't Allah decree everything? Okay, well, Allah decreed this on me. So the same one who is fornicating with a lady, he don't want that for his wife, you see? He want that for his daughter. If somebody wants to do it with his daughter, he's like, "Okay, stay away." No, Allah decreed. No, it doesn't work like that. You see? No, it doesn't work like that. Because that's his daughter now. You see? SubhanAllah. Bid'ah make no sense. He steals money, and then he's like, "Okay, he's stealing. Yeah, it's okay. Why? Qadar of Allah. You go take his money, he wanna fight you. No, that's my money." The one who don't pray, "Okay, prayer. Yeah, you go pray, guys. Why are you not praying?" "Allah decreed on me not to pray at this time." That's how you understand the Qadr, yeah. So anything that happened to you, that's it? That's Allah, from Allah, yeah. Smack him in the head. Alright? Then what he going to say? Usually he's going to say, "What it is for?" Say, "Qadr of Allah, akhi. Qadr." He's going to say, "No, Qadr, come on, man. Keep your hands to yourself, see?" And they play games. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he was making tawaf around the Kaaba, and two men came from Iraq. And they recognized him, and then they said to him, "Listen, where we come from in Iraq, some people are saying, look, Allah does not know, you know, that the action of the people, the servants, until they do them, so they deny the Qadr of Allah." Ibn Umar refuted them. He said to them, "Go and tell them, or anyone who believe in that, that I am free from them and they are free from me." And he narrated to them the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, that narrated by his father Umar radiallahu anhu, and in it is the belief in the Qadr. So the ulama, the Sahaba, they refuted these innovations and their innovators. And then after that, the bid'ah of i'tizal. And this bid'ah of i'tizal, Mu'tazila, Amr ibn Ubaid and Wasil ibn Ata'. And it's amazing, yeah, you gotta always ask Allah for firmness upon the deen. No matter who you think yourself, mashallah, you know this and you know that, but hey, ask Allah firmness, because the hearts are in Allah's hand. And He turns them as He will. In Allah's fingers, He turns them as He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man, Amr ibn Ubaid, he was one of the main students of Al-Hasan al-Basri. Matter of fact, he was an amazing man. He was a good student. He was extraordinary. He was amazing. Knowledge, ibadah, worship, akhlaq, manners, everything. But then, this man, Wasil ibn Ata, he came up with another belief. Murtakib al-Kabira, the Muslim who committed a major sin, in the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that he's still a believer. As long as that major sin is not shirk or kufr, doesn't take him out of Islam. Like somebody who drink alcohol, fornicate, steal. That's a major sin. But that person is still a Muslim. He's a bad Muslim because of what he's doing. But he's still a Muslim. The Khawarij, they say he's not a Muslim. Any person who commits a major sin is a kafir automatically. You see? And why? Because the Khawarij, they didn't understand the text correctly. That's why we continue to say you gotta understand the text the right way, the way of the Sahaba. That's why. Al-Qur'an was sunnah ala madhabi salaf. You gotta follow the book and the sunnah upon the understanding of the salaf, the sahaba. Because these khawarij, they bring you ayats and ahadith. But those ayats that apply on the kuffar, they apply them on the Muslims, because of their weak understanding. The Mu'tazila, what they do? This man, Wasil ibn Ata, he says, look, the person who commit a major sin, he's not a Muslim and he's not a kafir. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say he's still a Muslim, but his iman is weak, because sins decrease you in iman. The Khawarij, they say, he's a kafir. He's not a Muslim anymore. This guy, Wasil ibn Ata, says, well, listen, he's not saying a kafir, he's not saying a Muslim. Who is he? He says, he's between. Min bayna al-manzilatayn. This man is between. What do you mean between? So when Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, now this man came with this innovation. Nobody from the Salaf, nobody from the companions said this. He said to him, i'tazil. Separate yourself from us, man. We don't want you with that nonsense. I'tazil, that's what is like. The verb is called i'tazil. I'tazil meaning separate yourself. Don't sit with us. Can't be with us on that, and you have that belief and that aqidah. So he went and separated himself. This Amr ibn Ubaid, he went with him, you see. Who was a great scholar, great student of knowledge. And he went with him, and they start calling to their staff. That's why they call them Mu'tazila, those who separate themselves from the circle of knowledge of Al-Hasan al-Basri. And then, of course, bid'ah, they bring what? They bring fitan, trials between the Muslims. People, they start to differ now. Those who go with the Khawarij, they have their own way. Those go with the Shia, Qadar, Irja, Mu'tazila, and they start different. They're not good together. Before, they were upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Sahaba. Doesn't matter what country they're from, they are together. United upon the Haqq, not upon a color, not upon dunya. They are united upon the truth, which is the Quran and the Sunnah, with the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim in the first place. Now, since these innovators and these innovations pop up amongst the Muslims, so now they are not. That's where divisions started. Okay? Group with these guys, another group with this mubtadi'ah, another group with this mubtadi'ah. So fitan, trials appears. Because some people, they start to incline towards some of these innovations and these innovators. They start to incline towards these innovators and innovations. And then the bid'ah of a tasawwuf, the innovation of tasawwuf started as well. And they began to build upon the graves. These are bid'ah, ya akhwan, these are innovations. And whenever the time is away from the time of the Sahaba, you will find the bid'ah increased. Many bid'ahs, many types of them, wal'iyadu billah. Now the second point is the place where this bid'ah started. It's different, they start in different places. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, that the places that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam they lived in, and therefore the knowledge of the Sunnah and the Haqq spread from them, are five areas. They call them al-Haraman, meaning the Haram of Mecca and the Haram in Medina. Wal-Iraqan, there was two places, they call them the Iraqan, the two Iraqs. And Al-Sham. From these five areas, Quran spread, Hadith, Fiqh, Ibadah, and all of the things that related to the affairs of Islam. Likewise, from these places appears some foundations of bid'ah and innovations, except for the Medina of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Except from Medina. For instance, the Shaykh is going to mention the two Iraqs, like the Kufa. Al-Kufa was a famous place in Iraq. What is the bid'ah that came out from Kufa? Tashayyu, Rafida and Shia, and Irja. From this place, Kufa, that once was a big place of knowledge and fiqh and hadith, now yet some innovations appear from that. What? Tashayyu' Shia and the Irja. And then it spread, it's like a disease. It spread in other places from there. As for Basra, is another area in Iraq. Kharaja minha al-Qadr. That's where the bid'ah of Qadr and I'tizal and Nusuk al-Fasid, some ibadat, they began to worship in different way and perform some actions of worship that are not from the Sunnah, not from the way of the companions. That's from Basra. And then it spread in other places. Washam, it contains two. The Tashayyu' and Qadr. As for the bid'ah of Jahmiyyah, and this is a very wicked sect as well. They say the Quran is created, they deny the attributes of Allah, they deny the ru'yah of Allah, they say Allah cannot be seen by the believers in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Many bad beliefs that the Jahmiyyah have. They appear in the area of Khurasan. And this is considered the weakest and the worst of all innovations. And the more you find the people away from the Medina of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the more you find them upon innovations, wal'iyadu billah. So look, after the death of Uthman, or the killing and the murder of Uthman, because Uthman was murdered, the Khawarij, they killed him, wal'iyadu billah. Khawarij, they killed Uthman, subhanAllah, they killed the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah. Now somebody is amazed why they killing some other people, or they assassinate the prime minister in this country, the other country. Why? Why they do that? Yeah, they killed Uthman. These guys, they have a plan, you know. You will think at this time, I read these stories many times in this event, and I'm like, how could they kill a man like this? How could they kill a man? Uthman? Khalifa to Rasulullah sallallahu. The Prophet sallallahu gave him the glad tidings of the Jannah. They say he's a kafir. The Prophet sallallahu will give the glad tidings of Jannah to a kafir, a'udhu billah. He will marry both his daughters, not just one, to this man. And he will say that this man, Uthman, the angels are shy of him. They shy of him. The angels are shy of a kafir. A'udhu billah. So you will like, subhanallah, ya akhi, la ilaha illallah. These fitan are very, very serious. So you gotta ask Allah to keep you firm upon the sunnah. Ask Allah. Don't get involved in what the people are saying, man. Keep your mouth shut. If you follow those who they just wanna talk and walk, see what you're on. See what you're stepping on. Alright? These are people, they killed the best of the people of this ummah, Uthman radiallahu anhu. And they killed Ali too, after him. So after the killing of and the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the bid'ah of the Khawarij appears. Al-Haruriyya. Why they call them Haruriyya? Because they were with Ali radiallahu anhu, the Khawarij. They were with Ali. But then, when him and Muawiyah radiallahu anhum, they came to agreement, they went against him. Okay, and separate themselves from Ali, and they say, you are a kafir. Ya'udhu billah. They claim him to be a kafir and disbeliever, al-iyadu billah. And they separate themselves in this place called Harura. That's why they call them Haruriyya. As for the Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was saved from innovations. Alhamdulillah. Even though maybe some people who are upon innovations, but they were not strong on it like in the other places. Anyone who is upon innovation was despised, wal'iyadu billah, in Medina. And he has no helpers, no supporters in there. There were some people who they have this belief of Qadariyah and other than them, but they were humiliated. You know, they were smashed down, the Ahlul Sunnah, alhamdulillah, as opposed to the Tashayyu', the Shia, and Irja in Kufa, and I'tizal, and them. Those, they were thriving. Okay, because there was a lot of fitan and trials in there. And keep in mind that the Prophet said in authentic hadith that Dajjal will not enter al-Madina, alhamdulillah. And knowledge and iman and the truth continues to be there in Medina, prevailing over all of the bid'ah and innovations until the time of the companions of Imam Malik, and that was the 4th century. As for the 3 best generations, the Medina, alhamdulillah, no innovations, whatever happened, was in it. No innovation was spreading or was strong. And no innovation unknown to come from Medina, any foundation whatsoever, and then spread into other places. Then what is some of the reasons now? The second part of this portion here. الأسباب التي أدت إلى ظهور البدع. What is some of the things that leads to the appearance of these innovations? The appearance of these innovations. The Shaykh, he says, Hafidhahullah, Shaykh Salah Al-Fawzan, he says, no doubt that holding firm to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, that's safety. That's what keeps you safe from falling into innovation and dalal and misguidance. That's what keeps a person firm from falling into innovations. So, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to leave this for the next time, for the next class. We're going to start with mentioning and reading for you the asbab, the reasons that lead to the appearance of innovations. May Allah protect us and you from these innovations. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.